Hey, welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line all show long, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Good. I just looked at Twitter at the, you know, like the live feed, and yeah. I love when I just look and I'm like, wow, I just made a ridiculous expression like 5 seconds ago. You know, I got to remember to just be like this.
Watch your face.
Yeah.
Just continuously monitor your face.
So many weird contortions, you know, that you're not aware of. Or at least I don't know if you guys feel this way about you.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And Porth doesn't have to worry about this.
Not yet. We've still got to get to a place where we can get him on here just when he loses it. Like maybe when we go down the rabbit hole of, you know, talking about Adrian Dater questions again, we can have just a still shot of Porth in there losing it.
That would have been an incredible video the other day.
It really would have been.
I mean, I have an iPad that I could set up.
Well, what have you been doing?
Okay. Yes. Please do. We've been asking for this. This would enhance the show. Speaking of Dater, a lot of talk about that. I feel like I think he unfollowed me after all this, too, and it seems like he blocked some people along the way.
He unfollowed you?
Well, I just checked because someone tweeted, like, I don't remember who it was. Someone in the hockey media was like, oh, Dater blocked me. And I was like, I wonder, you know, so I went and looked, and he doesn't follow me anymore. So, I don't know. Maybe that had already happened. Maybe he'd already gotten sick of, like, Tennessee baseball tweets. You know,
maybe
who knows?
You know. Maybe, I mean, at least no Deion Lewis pulled at this point. Where you're blocked.
Yeah, but apparently he's on a little bit
of a... Apparently he's been on
a
spree.
Yeah. I mean, he's taken a lot of crap for that, and justifiably so. Some people might be going a little overboard with it.
On Twitter?
A little bit. I know. It's hard to imagine. I know.
What a...
Rarely happens.
What a time that was. How about old Barry Trotz? Up 1-0 against Tampa Bay. I picked the Lightning. I took the Lightning minus the 1.5, and nothing. Barry Trotz just continues to shut people up one game at a time.
Incredible. That last couple minutes, I'm like, you know, I swear, if you gave Tampa Bay like 5 minutes here, they'd score like 4 goals.
Yeah.
You know, like that point, it's like, what are you going to – but they got it done. Incredible. Incredible story.
But our buddy Bob on Twitter, you know, he said last week multiple times it's going to be a New York Islanders Montreal Canadiens Stanley Cup final. So I mean, we're one game in so far, but an impressive start by the New York Islanders.
I mean, the betting apps now have the Islanders as the favorite to win the series.
I know. Well, you win game one, you're in good shape. That's a heck of a team they're going up against.
That's a big odds swing, huh?
It's a huge game. With one game in these Stanley Cup series, one game swings the odds dramatically.
Yeah.
Every single series.
I'm not sure that I would I'm not sure that I'm ready to say I expect the Islanders to win the series at this point. But that was impressive.
I'm going to go buy my Islanders t-shirt. Barry Trotz. Just Trotz on the back of it. No number.
Does that exist?
I don't know.
Can you get that?
We're going to find one.
You should get the St. Barry t-shirt.
So. Yeah. St. Barry. St. Barry.
Is that something that was here?
No, that's something that's there now.
It's there now.
Yeah.
Okay.
The New York Saints.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Thank you, Bruce Cassidy. It's going well.
Yeah.
So we'll see if Montreal can follow up with their end of the bargain. They play tonight? I believe so. Game one tonight between Vegas and Montreal.
That's a game you can hear on ESPN 94.9 tonight.
Nice.
So an impressive start to the Stanley Cup semifinals. I still have to get used to saying that. No conference finals this year. Stanley Cup semifinals.
Yeah, it's weird.
Chris Paul, the Phoenix Suns, sweep.
Yeah.
On the way to the Western Conference Final for the first time in 11 years. So a lot happening this weekend. But the main story from this weekend, of course, college baseball here locally. Vanderbilt and Tennessee both moving on, both headed to Omaha. Tennessee headed to Omaha for the fifth time. I believe Vanderbilt headed to Omaha for the fifth time as well. And really impressive fashion from both squads. Kind of different routes to get there. I mean, I'll start with a game Friday for Vanderbilt against East Carolina. You talk about a pitcher's duel. I mean, you had Kumar Rocker out there. I mean, they couldn't touch him the whole game. But then on the other side, I mean, Gavin Williams was pitching so well that you felt like, all right, all it's going to take is, you know, a hit and a bloop single, and all of a sudden East Carolina's tied this thing up. That's a heck of a game on Friday, but in the end, I mean, Kumar Rocker was just too much. He got in trouble a couple times and was able to pretty quickly get out of it, and it goes back to his ability to rise to the moment in the NCAA tournament. It continues to be incredible, and obviously Vanderbilt did not have their greatest day offensively on Friday. They found a way to get that insurance run at the end on just an incredible play, incredible slide by Enrique Bradfield at home plate, where they called him out originally, and they went back and reviewed it. And when they went back and reviewed it, I was like, well, what are they looking at here? He's definitely out. And then I saw the replay. I'm like, oh, no, he's not. He was safe. What a slide. That was a heck of a game on Friday. And then Jack Leiter and Vanderbilt able to pretty much dominate Saturday in that game to close it out.
Yeah, it was really impressive. I mean, look, East Carolina is really good.
Yeah.
I know it's, you know, maybe some people want to I mean, they've never been to Omaha, and they've had so many teams that have been to this point. But you're talking about the number 13 overall seed in the tournament. Like you said, Gavin Williams he's a pro. They pitched really well, and it was Rocker and Leiter, but it was also the bullpen was perfect. They did exactly what you wanted to do, and you got enough offense. It was just and some really good defense too. And then, like you said, Bradfield, and of course he also has the add-on run double in the second game. It wasn't as tidy as it looked. It was very tidy from the Vanderbilt side in terms of how they played. But it wasn't easy. I mean, this is why. I mean, all year long, it's like, well, when you get to this stage of the year, what's it going to look like with Rocker and Leiter? Well. I mean, Leiter's talking after the game like, yeah, I think I found a changeup for the first time this year. It's like, geez, oh that's good for everybody else. You found another pitch that works for you. I mean, he was reaching 99. He hit 99 once on the stadium gun Saturday and was just great. Both of them were just tremendous. And so now that's the arsenal they take to Omaha, and they do not have Arkansas on their side of the bracket.
Yeah.
Sorry for the Hogs fans. That is a toughie.
That is a tough one.
Kevin Copps, who's the SEC pitcher of the year. Great season reliever. He's like a reliever, but he's just like a middle and closer. Like he does everything. They start him. He goes the whole game. He pitches great, but he gives up the ninth inning homer to lose.
Threw like 120 pitches.
Incredible. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I guess there'll be maybe some second guessing of that. But, hey, man, it's your best player.
Yeah.
And he did. He gave you what you wanted, really.
Well, it was kind of the same thing Friday in Vanderbilt with Williams and Rocker. Like, I mean, they were both up there, 115, 120 pitches around there. And I was like, all right, like, who is going to be the – is Tim Corbin going to pull Rocker first? Are they going to pull Williams first? Like, who's going to be the first one to blink here? And, I mean, you end up pulling Rocker eventually. I think 7 2/3 he went. But came in, you get the last four outs. No problem for Vanderbilt on Friday.
Well, and then, you know, Leiter had only pitched 94 pitches through seven. And so I was a bit surprised that Nick Maldonado was out there in the eighth. And I remember I tweeted, like, I don't know about this. And then it's like, boom, 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 it's over.
Yeah, just completely
like I
shuts
said,
him down.
Tim Corbin again is right.
And then Tennessee taking care of business over the weekend, taking down the mighty LSU Tigers. Now, look, I'll be honest, I had pretty good amount of faith that Vanderbilt was going to get it done this weekend. But Tennessee... Even though I made it my lock in weekend winners, that was more betting with my heart than my head. But they came out; they were really impressive against LSU. A good game on Saturday night, 4-2 win for Tennessee, and then yesterday, I mean, the bats just explode for the Vols, 15-6. I saw this was kind of depressing. I saw a tweet, and I can't remember who it was from. I'll find it somewhere here in a few minutes. That said, Tennessee had scored 15 runs against LSU. Their last four meetings in football, they failed to get to 15. That's very depressing.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of nice contrasting with football now for this baseball program. But, the first game – and look, I was – when LSU came all the way back from losing the first game, which I don't think they've ever done before, came all the way back from losing the first game to win the regional in Oregon, I was like, oh, man, Paul Menard's retiring. Yep. They got swept by Tennessee. They're coming back. It's emotion and all this stuff. I didn't like it. I still picked Tennessee to win because I just think that team is just – they are tough, and they're loaded, too, in that lineup. I mean, and certainly that ballpark plays well with that lineup. But impressive, man. The first game was very dicey, though. I mean, the first game, and it required, you know, Sean Hundley, kind of the unsung hero of this team, was huge. Mount Juliet's own in the first game. And then, yeah, yesterday was just launch city on that team. So Paul Menary out of there. Hopefully there was not too many bad words thrown at Paul Menary's way. He backed off all his comments, and, you know, he was fine.
Well, Tennessee fans are pretty good at letting things go, right?
That's true, yeah. But I love there's some great – there's like some like Louisiana radio, you know, personalities who are just like, Tennessee fans are disgusting. Like, look, man.
Like, calm down a little bit.
Yeah, come on, man. Do we win – I mean – do we need to, like...
I mean, the patron saints of the sporting world, LSU Tiger fans.
Yeah. Yes. Let's just go around the stadium on a Saturday night, you know, SEC night, and capture a few comments.
Yes.
You know, but hey, that's got to be a good feeling for Tennessee fans, for other fan bases to be mad at them, right? Because it just they just haven't had that much of an opportunity for that.
No, a great job by both Vanderbilt and Tennessee, and here we are. Omaha coming around the corner, and two local teams going to be in the mix. Not playing each other the first round. Looks like Tennessee's going to take on the winner of Dallas Baptist and Virginia. That taking place today in Vanderbilt.
Game three is today.
We'll be taking on Arizona in the first round of the College World Series.
Arizona beats Ole Miss. Kind of a rough, really, outcome for the SEC. You know, Ole Miss goes down to Arizona. Obviously, we knew the LSU and Tennessee. And then the Arkansas shocker. And today, Mississippi State, Notre Dame in a game three. This could end up being only Tennessee and Vanderbilt,
which is crazy
in Omaha. Which
like,
is wild.
I thought there could end up being five teams from the SEC.
Yeah,
and here they are.
So, but yeah, if they play, if anybody's wondering, because I know some people were wondering about the bracket's already set. So the only way they play is in a best of three final series, which would be
I'm here for it. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the College World Series. The Vols are in Omaha for the first time since 2005. What do we make of the job Tony Vitello has done? How sustainable is this for the Tennessee Volunteers program as they move forward here? We'll get into that coming up next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook, and the NBA playoffs are here, and you'll be in hoops heaven betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook because there are so many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level. New and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs, and new users get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every single week. That means you can combine multiple bets for an even bigger win. The point spread, the money line, the first basket score, steals, blocks, everything is on the table. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with promo code ROB to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only, and refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Line drive. Caught! And it'll be a big orange dog pile on the way to the College World Series.
You know, this is a special thing. You get rolling in during the year, and I appreciate the support. But people that have to do this for a living, you would never say, we're going to go to Omaha, or let's just get to Omaha. It's a grind. It is a grind to get there. So you got to focus on the grind. But now that we have kind of punched our ticket, Vol Nation's been a big part of us getting there. I mean, the fan support, you know, today and other days, I hope people can make the trip. It's a fun, fun deal, and they do it upright up there.
That was Tennessee head coach Tony Vitello after the Vols punched their ticket yesterday to Omaha, taking down LSU in game two of the Super Regional. 15-6 winners for Tennessee yesterday at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. The environment was pretty awesome. I mean, I was just watching the game yesterday, Joe. I mean, obviously the stands were sold out, but they had like thousands of people just lined up on the campus out there watching it in the parking lot or, you know, tailgating out with RVs and TVs in the car watching it. I mean, it was a pretty special environment on the campus of the University of Tennessee. We just saw a clip of John Fulkerson just walking around, ended up on TV yesterday.
Well, he actually came up on a reporter and like grabbed the microphone.
Yeah, and he's like, "Hey, man, let's talk about this."
I'm disappointed he didn't have his Falk on, but other than that was pretty sweet. Yeah, they had the students. You can get standing room that go on sale 90 minutes before the game. So they had saw a thing where like people were like some of the older people who had tickets who were tailgating were like throwing beers to the students as they waited in line, and what an environment. I did not go this weekend because David Ubbin was there covering it for us, so I did Vanderbilt, but it looked like it was even the best yet atmosphere, and it's been fantastic. I mean, it was fantastic for the Vanderbilt series this year, for last weekend, and just pretty awesome for Tennessee. For those Tennessee baseball fans who have suffered with the program for so long, especially cool for a lot of Tennessee fans, probably haven't cared much about baseball, right, over a period of time. But
yeah.
I agree with, like, Paul Maneri yesterday. He had a very emotional presser. Of course, his last presser as LSU's coach, he announced his retirement, and he called Tennessee baseball, you know, kind of a sleeping monster. That's how it has been viewed in this league. And, Tony Vitello has obviously got it rolling now here in year four for him. It's pretty impressive stuff, and makes you wonder what might be ahead for him in this program.
Absolutely. It's obvious right now. I mean, this offense for the Vols, they've got the potential to really explode at any moment. Like, I look at them heading into Omaha. I mean, they don't have a Kumar Rocker. They don't have a Jack Leiter on their team, obviously. And, you know, their pitching's been good, but it's not like they've got these studs that you just throw out there. But, I mean, Jake Rucker yesterday, pride of Greenbrier, Tennessee, just mashing the ball. I mean, he was on a mission yesterday. He homers his first two times at the plate. Gilbert with a big homer yesterday as well. I mean, the ball was leaving the yard left and right yesterday, and that goes to show, I mean, this offense that Tennessee has, they can explode at any moment, and that keeps you in every game if you're the Vols.
Yeah. Well, they're clutch too.
Yeah,
I mean, just about all those guys at one time or another has had some huge hit that maybe flipped a game one way to the other in their favor. Now, one thing about Tennessee, as you look to Omaha, is that is an expansive park. It is much more of a pitcher's park than they play in, and the park they play in is absolutely the definition of a hitter's park.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the. 10 homers yesterday leaving that place. So that's, you know, I mean, they will be, I guess, challenged stylistically the way that they're built in Omaha. But
although a couple of those balls they hit yesterday,
they're going
out.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not like you can't hit a homer in Omaha. I'm sure they'll have a couple. But, yeah, they're a fun team. They don't have, like you said, I mean, Blade Tidwell, who was great yesterday, he's going to be, I think, a major league pitcher. He's a freshman. I think as time goes on, we're going to see him, you know, elevate and be an elite pitcher. And you're already seeing, like, he has the stuff to do that. And he's one of those, I mean, to me in Omaha, he's one of those key factors. It's not the same as Rocker as a freshman, because Rocker as a freshman was, by midseason, it was like, whoa, this guy is, you know, dominant. But Tidwell, with that kind of stuff as a freshman, he could be a huge difference maker for them. But they're bullpen, they have depth. And again, they just have that kind of team of destiny thing, you know. They do. They just have that ability to hang in on a game. They might have been done if that Wright State game goes the other way, and that one swing, you know, has changed a lot of things for them.
So you mentioned Vitello going into this is fourth year in Knoxville, and obviously they found their way back to Omaha for the first time since 2005. And he has basically revived a program that was stuck in the mud in the SEC with all the other talent around here and Vanderbilt doing what they do. And just as we know, the best league in college baseball, he's found themselves right back in the thick of it, back into Omaha for the first time since 2005. A two-part question for you. I mean, the big concern kind of heading into all this was, all right, is Tony Vitello going to be here long-term? Is he going to end up somewhere else? I mean, the A&M job came open. The LSU job obviously is coming open as well. A&M has filled that void, hiring the coach from TCU. LSU's job is still open. How concerned would you be if you're a Vols fan that Vitello leaves and goes to LSU? Or did the last 2 weeks and what's to come here for the Vols kind of put that to rest, and it looks like he's going to be here for a pretty long time?
Well, I guess you don't totally exhale until all other jobs are filled and the contract extension is signed and all that stuff, but it looks like it's going to be fine. You know, the LSU job, he really hasn't been, and it doesn't mean it couldn't change, but he hasn't really been mentioned as one of the top candidates right now for that. I mean, I would tell LSU it you
could
might
change after this weekend.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, I would tell LSU, yeah, I might want to give a look at that guy. And LSU, for anybody who doesn't follow SEC baseball, that's kind of like Alabama football.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the program. I mean, you talk about the expectations are sky high, but so is the investment in everything that you need to win. So maybe that changes, and if so, okay, well, then he would have something to think about. But Danny White came out last week and put it on the record, you know, and he wanted it out there, you know, that they're investing in this thing. There aren't specifics yet, but you know, Tony Vitello told us on this show a couple weeks ago, there's having talks of substance about the facility, and I think that's a bigger thing. Yes, he's going to get paid. I think he makes $580K. He's going to double that. Now, you can just count on that, right? But he's going to be seven figures. But I think the bigger thing for him is to have a facility that's better to recruit to, have a facility that's better for fans. I think they can get they're going to have teams like this. You know, they can get more fans in, and they're going to have people with the resources who will pay for luxury seating at that place. So the suites in left field and all that stuff. I mean, it's a worthwhile investment. You can't take away from football.
No.
I know there's still some Tennessee fans that are like, every cent, football, I don't care. But I think most of the Tennessee fan base, it seems to me, has embraced this team and go with winners. You got a winner. Look at the Women's College World Series ratings. Right there with NBA playoff games, beating some hockey playoff games. We're like 1.9 million and stuff. There's going to be huge ratings for this. I bet you the Tennessee games in particular do really well. I mean, there's value in this sport. And I think Tennessee has demonstrated to Vitello that they're going to invest.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian in Portland texting in. Our pitching was better than it has been this weekend. Chad Dallas should not be slept on. Hashtag cheese. I like that.
Yeah, great nickname. Yeah. He was very good. I mean, watching that game, I'm like, this is what it's going to be like. It's going to be a three-game series, and it's going to be just, you know, hold on to your seat. But Tennessee just bludgeoned that yesterday. But, yeah, Dallas, Heflin. It's going to be interesting to see what Vitello does with his rotation. And again, they just got some, you know, some nice arms in the bullpen. But Hundley is the centerpiece of that, guy who can come in any situation. Kind of like Cops for Arkansas, but not to that, you know, extent.
Yeah.
Guy who just does everything. But it's that's going to be fun. You know, Tennessee, either Virginia or Dallas Baptist, and you know, they're gonna have a chance here. I would not sleep on any of them.
So if Vitello hangs around and they're able to get a contract extension worked out, which I think they will at this point, question is how sustainable is this? I mean, look, you're not gonna make it to Omaha every year. I mean, that's just not realistic. I mean, you're in the best conference in America. You've got all these great teams in this conference, but you at least need to try to put yourself in that conversation every year. I think that's the next step for this Tennessee program. You mentioned, I mean, the comments made of, you know, this could be kind of a sleeping giant for Tennessee baseball with Tony Vitello and just the investment level that Danny White wants to have in this program. So if Vitello hangs around, he keeps recruiting at the level that he has been right now, how sustainable is this for Tennessee baseball, do you think, as they move forward?
I mean, it's hard. I mean, even last year, so his third team, that could have been. And remember, they had key injuries this year that hurt their pitching. So I think it's sustainable. I think it's also a really tough league. I mean, look at Florida this year. They were, on paper, the most talented team. They're the preseason number one. They get just blown out of this tournament in two games. and really just disappointing all year. It's a tough league. There are a lot of good programs. So becoming one of those good programs doesn't – I mean, you are going to have – you're being a grind every year in this league. But I think it's sustainable to the point of being competitive and, like you said, having a chance, you know, to be knocking on the door and have more teams that get to Omaha. The recruiting thing is going to be interesting too. I mean, Vanderbilt goes everywhere for players. And Tennessee also, you can't just – but like Farragut is a program that produces a lot of good players. And that's sort of been Vanderbilt's – did I say it in a weird way?
No, I was just – I was going to make a comment that the baseball powerhouse of Greenbrier, it's next too.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Farragut, right?
Farragut.
Yeah, I said it right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I look at – I was that word always – I'm like,
don't get insecure over there. Yeah. You're right.
Sevierville.
Sevierville.
It is Sevierville.
See? Yes.
Dang it.
Sevierville.
Tom Sevierville.
I was just about to say that.
Sevierville. See, there's another one. Okay, so I'm one for two.
Yeah.
But that program has been, you know, so there are going to be some battles and some wins for Tennessee. I mean, they're going to, at times, butt heads on the recruiting trail. But I don't think it's not to me like a seesaw here with the two programs where it's like, well, if Tennessee's going to be up here now, oh, watch out, Corbin. I mean, I think they're going to be fine. And I think Vanderbilt can keep operating like it is and probably will. And obviously we see that Tennessee can still step in there and build good teams. And, I mean, who knows? Can Vitello – right now they don't have a ton of guys I think are going to play in the majors. What is this going to do for that?
Yeah.
Like nationally, what is this going to do? A recruit out there and wherever, watch on TV, like, man, I'd like to play in front of that atmosphere, right? I would think this would help.
Their coach somersaults into the crowd. Somersaults. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he certainly helped himself with recruiting through this run that Tennessee has been on. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation and ask the question, is there a shred of hope for the football program that's emerged from this baseball run that Tennessee has been on? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dan from Clarksville on the text line says, does all this college baseball excitement in Tennessee help the argument for Nashville to get an MLB expansion team? I wouldn't think so.
That's a leap.
I wouldn't think so.
There's an early morning leap on the text line. I don't think the two things really cross over at all, do they?
I don't think so, but I do think, I mean, I think we've known this at least for a little while. There is a pretty heavy appetite for baseball around here. Now, the major league, it's a little bit different because you've got so many different, I guess, competing fan bases, like Port's beloved Cincinnati Reds. There's a lot of Reds fans around here, Cardinals fans, Cubs fans, obviously Braves fans as well. So it's kind of just split into like four or five really big different fan bases around here. If you get a team, does that all kind of converge into one? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe that happens eventually, but I do think there's always been at least some appetite for baseball around here. And I think what you're seeing now, I mean, look, the Vanderbilt, it is what it is. They've got a pretty established fan base at this point, and we know what Tim Corbin is. We know what Vanderbilt's program is. It's, if not the best, one of the best in the entire country. I think what you're seeing from Tennessee right now, a lot of this is just the excitement of it being new, man, Tony Vitello and what they've done with this program. Like, look, there have been some Tennessee baseball fans, to your point earlier, that have kind of suffered through the last decade or so and have seen some rough times. I would say, just my guess, a large majority of what we've seen with this run have been Tennessee fans who haven't really paid all that much attention to baseball, and now that they're good, are like, oh, this is fun. This is great. Which, look, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. No. I mean, that's how you build a fan base, but I think that's the excitement level in Tennessee in particular. I think it largely comes from that.
Right. Yeah. So on the major league thing, to me, just the quick answer is, you know, Where's it going? Who's paying for it? That's what it's all about. I think the support of a major league team, I mean, I still think that, that, you know, 81 games a year, I think
it's a lot.
A discussion worth having. But I agree, there's a great appetite for baseball in this state. I think there's great baseball in this state, just from what I've seen on the youth level. And it's a very good baseball state. As far as the, yeah, the, like the fans and stuff, I mean, how many Vanderbilt people who love Vanderbilt cared about baseball until, like, David Price and those guys started making runs, you know, a couple years into Corbin's tenure? You know, I mean, I'm sure that that has been built quite a bit from that time period till now. So, and of course, you know, it's still like it's a larger fan base for Tennessee. I mean, it's a big public school versus a small private school. You know, so you have more alums and more. I mean, you know, clearly more people in the state who root for Tennessee. If those people. They will go to a winner, and that's exactly that's how you build a fan base. I mean, when Tennessee softball's had some great teams, they've had some great support for that too. We know with you know, with women's basketball, obviously it's been, you know, it's a very strong fan base still, and they've been, you know, they've been struggling obviously to get back to that glory. But this program will be supported as it continues to play like this, and I think this. Fan base, that's where I think about football, you know, is like, man, just imagine, first of all, like, again, you have incredible support, and that means a lot in college football, and, you know, imagine if you ever got it back.
Yeah, well, I mean, but, and my dad and I, we were talking about this yesterday watching the game, like, this fan base, they've been waiting so long. Just for something good, like for something good to happen. That's why early in the year with the basketball team, I mean, people were all in on Rick Barnes and that basketball team last year. And then we know what happened. They were disappointing coming down the stretch and then awful in the NCAA tournament. But that's why I think this is so much fun. And to your point, like if they can ever get back to the point in football where they're competitive again and they're a factor in the SEC, I mean, this fan base is going to go nuts because they've been pent up for the last 15 years waiting on something good to happen. I mean, I think if you're Danny White, you've not seen it really yet in terms – obviously, he's not been here for a football season. You know the passion. Like, he knows how big the Tennessee fan base is for football. Like, what you're seeing right now in baseball is, God, these people just want to win. Like, they've been stuck in the mud for a long time. These people, these fan base in Knoxville, they just want to win. And this is a pretty cool result of what can happen at that place when you do win. I mean, the atmosphere there yesterday, just watching and seeing like all the people hanging out on campus, it's awesome. It was great. I mean, I think that's got to make you feel pretty good about what your athletic program can be if you're Danny White.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, I think the more good programs you have, there's some level of kind of helping each other. I mean, it's limited, but still, I mean, this is a free commercial for Tennessee athletics now here in the next couple weeks. And you're constantly in a search for hearts and minds out there, young people that you want to bring in, and so I mean I think and there's a financial benefit too that can benefit everyone, but yeah, if you're Danny White, you got to be looking at this and saying, my goodness, the potential here, and it's not like he didn't know that before, but it manifests itself in situations like this. I would say this team basketball is a good thing to bring up. Because obviously 2 years ago, I mean, the Grant Williams run, and he was there, by the way, this weekend. I mean, that was special. And, of course, it's just heartbreaking for Tennessee fans. It ends in that Sweet 16. I would say, I mean, this is, even though it's eight teams left, this is like making a Final Four.
Yeah.
Now, is a College World Series for baseball bigger than making the first men's Final Four in Tennessee history? No. But this is a big deal. I mean, this is the biggest stage of that particular sport.
Right.
And it's been a long time since Tennessee could say that about any of its teams.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that asks, will Tennessee baseball hang around at the top long enough to get a Whistler? That was quite noticeable this weekend in Vanderbilt.
People get so mad about the Whistler. like, I just, it to me, it didn't take that long to just get used to it, you know? Just like background noise.
By the seventh inning the other day on Friday when I was watching the game, Gavin Williams pitching great, Kumar Rocker pitching great. The only thing I could think about was the Whistler the whole time. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, man. Well, you know,
he's in my head, man.
There are two, by the way.
I know.
And that's the other thing, too. It's like there's two Whistlers. Like Adam Sparks is like, you know, he's written about the Whistlers extensively on the Tennessean. And like a radio station called him and like, hey, like we'd like to get the Whistler. And I was like, well, I'll give you this Whistler's number. He's a better talker. The Preacher Whistler is a better talker, apparently. But the other Whistler, who has an awesome mullet, is the constant Whistler. Like, he is constantly whistling. So I don't know
what's going to happen in Tennessee.
I don't know. You know what Tennessee needs is they need the cigarette lighter. Did you see this picture? Yeah. Now, that was in the outside the stadium, right?
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know, man. It was a free-for-all in Lindsey Nielsen anyway, but yeah, that's the woman lighting her stogie there in the front row.
It's amazing.
I mean,
a lot of memes being made of that.
You got cowbells, Mississippi State
calling the Hogs in Arkansas.
There, yep, you got that. You got the Whistler at Vanderbilt
lighting up some stogies in Tennessee.
Does Tennessee need something like that?
Well, they do. Instead of the Tennessee Smokies, it's the Tennessee Stogies.
Oh yeah, look at you, boy. What do they do at LSU? Like, they've got to do something crazy at LSU for baseball.
Jambalaya?
Could be. Yeah, it could just be, you know, cooking up some gator in the parking lot or something.
Skinning gators? Yeah, I don't know.
Ole Miss has throw it in the dirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's that?
There's a lot of crazy stuff.
What does that mean?
You don't know that?
I don't know that.
I guess when a pitcher that they're facing is starting to, you know, walk people or
lose control of
it. Right. They'll chant, throw it in the dirt. Dirt! Throw it in the dirt. Dirt!
Yeah. Wow. It's a real thing.
Okay.
Then that gets you fired up.
Yeah, it makes me think of, like, the chance of, like the diarrhea. When you're sliding into third and you know.
What are you talking about?
Diarrhea.
You know, when you're sliding into first and you feel a pants burst.
Can't say I've heard that one before. Now you just totally wrecked poor.
Really? I'll sing you the whole thing in the break.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the College World Series. Get into Vanderbilt with the 1-2 punch they have on the mound. Can anybody stop Vandy as they move forward? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This hour of Robbie and Rex Road is brought to you by Trane. Get a great deal this spring on a new Trane heating and cooling system. At Trane, they test so it runs. Visit traneinfo.com to find your local dealer and learn more. It's hard to stop a Trane.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Huffy texting in. You have to be older than 40 to know the baseball diarrhea song.
Yes, that's about right. We figured out this is a generational gap here on the show.
I feel like I've missed out.
When you're sliding into foam and you... No! When you're sliding into home and your pants are full of foam, et cetera, et cetera.
Diarrhea.
Cha-cha-cha. You could also do the cha-cha-cha if you want to.
What's the third base one?
I want to make sure we're able to say these things on the air.
I mean, yeah, it's not a cuss word.
Yeah. You're sliding into third and you feel a juicy turd.
There you go. Apparently we missed out on a heck of a song growing up, Porth.
Happy Monday morning, everyone.
Is there a second base one?
Well, I don't think there is. Now, someone can help me out on the text line, but I think when we used to sing that song, you just forget about second base.
It's hard to find something that goes with that.
Second and like fecal and second, they don't really rhyme.
No.
It doesn't really work out. Yeah. So I don't know. If I'm wrong.
First, third,
and home.
Yeah, well, there's got to be a number two somewhere in there.
Well, maybe so. That's a good point.
Well, maybe we can bring this song back and have a new
remix.
Yeah, a millennium remix, 21st century remix.
Yeah. We all know how Joe likes modern-day music, so.
That's right.
Maybe that's something we can get started.
Here's another example of how it used to be better back in the day.
Exactly right. So we discussed Tennessee this hour and their chances as they move forward here in Omaha. What about Vanderbilt? Obviously, some very familiar territory for this Vanderbilt baseball program and Tim Corbin back in Omaha once again. A 1-2 punch on the mound that is as good as anybody's, maybe better than anybody's, in Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter. The question is, when you factor in those two, the bullpen, who performed very well this weekend as well, and a lineup that I don't think is anywhere near as potent as they've been before in terms of, this is not the Vanderbilt lineup that comes to mind that you think of wow, these guys can just, they can sit out there and mash with anybody, but still a good lineup, still obviously lots of talented players. Can anybody stop this Vanderbilt team as they move forward here, especially with Rocker and Leiter playing at the level they played at their last two outings, as you look at what they are going to face heading into this tournament in Omaha?
Well, it's kind of the same thing as the regional versus the super regional. If Vanderbilt gets to the final series, I love Vanderbilt because of those two guys. And you just, you know, you're going to be able to throw, you know, start two games. You got to win two or three. You got those two guys. Feel great. It's exactly how it played out this weekend. But, you know, this first phase of the College World Series is just like a regional. So four teams, double elimination.
Yep.
And so four of Vanderbilt's 5-0 in this tournament, and four of those games were dominated by one of those two pitchers. The other one was a wacky one that went deep into the night and is kind of a little bit of a precursor for what may happen in Omaha. They still have to find another starter who they feel like could give them a good start, and I don't know if they have that. Patrick Riley, Christian Little are the top, you know, possibilities. And then their bullpen depth, I think, is still – I mean, obviously, Nick Maldonado is terrific. I think they still feel good about – you know, Luke Murphy did the job when he came in on Friday. You feel good there, but there's still some, you know, question marks around the overall bullpen. And the lineup, like you said, it's not – you know, a couple years ago, it's J.J. Bleda out there and Austin Martin, and they're just mashing. And this is a good lineup. There's something I like a lot about it. I love Enrique Bradfield leading off. You know, he's been such a catalyst for this team. And they're good up and down the lineup. You know, like you can get big hits from guys like Jason Gonzalez, CJ Rodriguez. They need, you know, Dom Keegans and those guys to step up big in Omaha. So there's far from like some lock, you know. I mean, they are good enough to win it, absolutely. But there are some question marks that are just going to have to be answered. We're just going to have to see, you know, if those two things, the lineup and the bullpen, and well, I shouldn't say just the bullpen, the lineup and just the pitching depth will be good enough.
Well, and as we discussed, I mean, a pretty good stroke of fortune for them yesterday, too, with Arkansas going out. I mean, look. NC State, obviously, no joke.
Must be pretty
good.
Pretty good,
yeah. If you're taking down Arkansas. So it's not like, I mean, nobody in Omaha that you're playing is just going to be an easy out at this point of the college baseball season. But, you know, coming down the stretch in SEC play and especially into the tournament as well, I mean, Arkansas, they at times just looked unstoppable. So to get them out and to get that pitcher out specifically, that could be big not only for Vanderbilt, but for really everybody on that side of the bracket.
No doubt, yeah. And, I mean, look, just from a baseball fan perspective, I really wanted to see, like, maybe a Rocker against Arkansas possibility, you know, so because obviously he had a rough outing against them in the SEC tournament, but obviously that's not going to happen. Arkansas is going to sit there and watch on TV while Vanderbilt takes part in this tournament. But, yeah, you can't tell me that doesn't make it a little bit more likely that Vanderbilt gets to the final series. Now, they're going to play Arizona, and I assume that'll be Rocker. But that first game against Arizona, that is a very explosive offensive team. So right away, he's going to see a really tough lineup and not going to be easy. And it's different stuff than he's seen this year. So, but again, if you're Vanderbilt, you just have to love being able to throw him out there, throw Rocker out there, and then do you have enough otherwise?
Will that be Saturday night?
That will be Saturday, and we don't know times yet. I hope we'll get times once the games are done today.
I have to think that will be prime time over Stanford, NC State.
That would be my guess.
I would imagine so. I would guess so. It should be.
Yeah. And then, you know, we talked about it, lighter. You got another pitch now. Apparently, changeup's now part of the arsenal as well. So 99, the breaking balls that he's got, and now the changeup he feels good about.
Sure, why not? Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, his stuff was – I mean, both of them.
Just electric.
Yeah. Like Rocker with his – like the cutter slider that he's got going. And I mean, and then, obviously, you know, he can spot that fastball where he needs. And then Leiter can reach back and hit that velocity. And then his curveball was great. I mean, it's fun to watch. It really is. If you love baseball, love pitching, just the art of pitching, yeah, those guys have a ton of talent, but – it's also the way they mix things up and keep hitters off balance. And Scott Brown also, by the way, you know, and Tim Corbin was talking about this the other day. He's sitting there in the sun. He calls every pitch. You know? So he calls the pitch, you know, and then you got, you know, C.J. Rodriguez behind the plate, I think is really good as a catcher, also handling pitchers. And then
he was awesome, especially on Friday. Yeah. I mean, he was great. If Vanderbilt's able to pull this off, and they win again, so that'd be the third national championship for Tim Corbin. And I guess technically it's back-to-back. Didn't really have one last year, so that'd be back-to-back for Vanderbilt. Look, we know how good Tim Corbin is. We know what sort of a coach he is. Where does he start to stack up there in terms of kind of like the all-time greats? Like you think of, you know, college basketball, and you've got, you know, Pat Summitt, Gino Auriemma on the women's side. You've got, you know, Dean Smith, Coach K on the men's side. Obviously, I mean, there's a ton of different names you could go down in college sports. Football, Saban, Bear Bryant. Where does Tim Corbin start to get in terms of that echelon if he wins a third one here with Vanderbilt?
Well, look, there's a chunk of, like, our listeners here that would be like, well, you just name sports that I follow closely and I don't follow college baseball closely.
Sure.
So that's part of the discussion is that, you know, it's – coaches like that, some people don't want to include them in that group because it's not a sport that they're passionate about. But you're talking – so Vanderbilt has five all-time College World Series appearances, just like Tennessee. Those five are in the last 10 tournaments they've been in, all under Corbin. Like you said, this would be his third championship. If he can get this to three, that separates you alone in college baseball. He is already – he has the best winning percentage in college baseball, of anybody over 100 games.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I think to me it's like, well, okay, then what's going to happen in the next few years? I think he can – you get to three, and I think it's okay to start talking about that stuff. You can talk about already 2 years ago, is this the best college sports program in the country, you know? Not just best college baseball program. Is this the – I mean, is there a better college sports program? I mean, stuff like that. And it's fair, I think, to talk about that stuff. I would say to get into that neighborhood you're talking about, maybe a few more, a couple more after this, if they get this, you know, I mean, that would be, and that's, again, it's not easy. The thing is, okay, it's way harder to, like say at Vanderbilt, like to get a football team to Atlanta ever, right? I mean, it's just, it's a different sport. It's harder to get there. But in this league, in this sport, I mean, you talk about competition, talent, resources, it's as good as it gets. And so I think they help each other because they are great competition for each other, but you got to keep that in mind too. It is a tough league every year, and that includes in recruiting as well, and he's able to sustain this year after year.
And we'll have a lot more to get to with the College World Series today on the show. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel joining us at 9 o'clock to look ahead at what the breakdown could look like for the Vols and the job that Tony Vitello has done as well. When we come back, we're switching gears, getting into the Tennessee Titans and focusing in on the defensive side of the ball. Which player has the most to prove on this Titans defense as we head into the 2021 NFL season? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.